Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning into Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And today we have a great show with a wonderful guest who's extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing the topic of multifamily's lessons learned, leadership, opportunity, and centralization. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a leader, the fantastic Kevin Owens, Executive Vice President for Multifamily with Lesson, Inc. Welcome, Kevin.
Thank you very much, Paul. It's a great joy to be here. I have respected and listened to your radio broadcast for years now, and to be a guest on your show is pretty great for me.
Well, thank you so much. We're thankful to have you as well. And I know you've got kind of a long and rich history in multifamily on the operations side for a couple of decades, and we'll talk a little bit about that later in the show. But I know when we talked about trying to determine what topics we wanted to cover, you said leadership, opportunity, career opportunities, as well as service centralization were three important things that you're doing a lot of thinking about now. And I think a lot of people are across the multifamily landscape. So let's jump into leadership a little bit. Talk about what's important in leadership to you.
You know, leadership is one of those nebulous topics that gets a lot of airplay, a lot of talk, and oftentimes, too often, frankly, not a lot of action behind it. You know, when people think about leadership, they think about who my last boss was or my supervisor was. And unfortunately, as we desire to become leaders, we have the examples that we've had in our lives as the guides for that leadership journey. And too frequently, that leadership journey is colored in a negative way by the fact that we've had bosses that perhaps weren't that great for us. So to me, leadership is such an important part of what we're doing in the multifamily space, because we have a chance to change that narrative for individuals as they come into our business. I tell people all the time that, you know, leadership is something that is learned. Leadership can be learned in a very positive way, but you can learn in any situation that you have in front of you from a leadership perspective. I think I've learned probably as much or more from what might be classified as bad bosses or bad leaders that I have from good leaders, simply because I have realized the impact that the bad behaviors, the negative impressions have had on me personally. And I just don't want people that work in my sphere of influence to have that feeling or have that experience in their lives. So leadership is just one of those core principles to me that if we can get it right in the multifamily space, we're going to exponentially improve our results overall. There's no doubt about it to me.
What's the impact or the importance of building culture when it comes to leadership? That culture is a word, again, that is getting a lot of airplay right now, company culture.
It is. Culture has almost become a cliche. It's one of the buzzwords in not only the multifamily industry, but in industries across the country and the world. And I think culture gets a bad rap sometimes. Culture gets misunderstood sometimes. It's the old, you know, pizza parties and games and having fun on Friday afternoons before y'all go home for the weekend. The thought process about culture is sometimes focused on those menial things. And I think culture is so much more than that. Culture, in my mind, simply is a way to encompass the values, the beliefs, the attitudes, the expected behaviors that guide a company, guide an organization. And I think there are certain things that are important to do to ensure that the culture that you espouse, that you tell everybody you want, that you promote on social media or whatever the case may be, actually comes into play in your organization. And the first step to me is accepting that it matters. I think that, you know, I'm an older generation operator in our space. And when I first started out in multifamily, culture wasn't that big of a deal. You did your job, hopefully you did it well, and you went home, and how the environment around you or the people that you worked with every day treated you or you treated them wasn't first and foremost in people's minds. I think today that's different. You have to accept that culture matters. It is going to play an important role in the recruiting and the retention of great employees. It simply matters. And then beyond that, you've got to obviously define what that's going to be for you, for your organization. What's your mission? What's your values? What are your goals? What incorporates that culture that you are trying to espouse, trying to build in your organization? And then communication, to me, plays a huge role in that. How do you communicate that culture? How do you ensure that your team members in a small group of associates 14 states away feels the same culture that you do in your home office? Making sure that you're communicating those values, your expectations that you have for leaders, things like that across your organization is critically important. And then finally, and I say finally in the sense that it's the last thing I'll mention at this point, but there's much more to it, obviously, is I think you've got to prioritize your team members, your employees. You know, we live in a world that talks a lot about balance and work-life balance, home-life balance. And I don't know that that's the best way to look at it. I think just balance, period, is really, really important. I think that if you can create an environment in your job environments, your job situations, your work offices, your properties, your regional offices, wherever it might be, that prioritizes the employee, the people who are doing the work for you every day, the people who are earning the revenue that you need to operate your organization every single day. If you can prioritize their well-being at work and then allow them to go home and have an actual home life that's completely separate from work, that's going to go a long way in building that culture that you're trying to create as well.
You know, we've got about 3.5 minutes left in this segment, and I have a feeling we're going to be talking about leadership in our second segment because there's so many other things I wanted to cover with you on there. But one of them in this last 2.5 minutes or so, let's talk about how important is authenticity to leadership?
Another great question, Paul. You know, to me, authenticity is the core of leadership. You can't be a leader without trust. You're not going to garner trust if you're not authentic. I think today people can spot a fake a mile away. We see it every day. We see it on social media. We see it in our real lives. You know, people can tell today if you go visit a retail outlet and the customer service feels fake. It's not real. People just have a sense of what's real and what's not. And so to go into any situation thinking I can fake my way through this as a leader and the people will follow me anyway is simply wrong. I think authenticity is at the core of being a great leader. If you don't have that, you simply can't be one. So whether it is making sure that your team members hear from you in an honest way about challenging topics or difficult decisions, whether that is getting to know your team members at a more intimate level than just the cursory, hi, how are you, and actually sharing things about yourself and what you believe in and who you really are, or whether it is kind of rolling up your sleeves and getting in the trenches and actually participating in the difficult work that is going on every single day in your world, I think authenticity is at the core of what separates great leaders from bosses, as we traditionally understand them to be.
Yeah, we've got about a minute left. I wanted to ask you, though, are you saying that a key component of authenticity then would be for the leader to kind of put himself or herself out there in front of their team members to show them, you know, who they really are?
Absolutely. I'll give you one example. And I don't say this to promote myself, but just as an example of my career, I've worked in student family, I've worked in student space and senior housing, and I had an opportunity to participate, to lead a student organization during turn season. If you've done that before, if you know the student space, you know what turn is.
Yes.
And rather than kind of overseeing and making sure the assignments were divvied out correctly and making sure we had the resources necessary to get the job done at every one of our properties, I booked a flight and traveled to one of our properties and put on my tennis shoes and my shorts and my t-shirt, and I played porter for a day. And look, that didn't do anything for me. It didn't take any extra effort for me to do that, except that it showed that team on site who was doing that for 2 weeks straight that there was this individual that they heard about, they heard from the corporate office. They saw this title associated with this person, and the title indicates maybe they are kind of separated from us. They saw this person actually come roll his sleeves up, clean apartments out, take trash out, clean appliances, do the kind of things that they do every single day. But to that group, it was an authentic representation of who they wanted their leader to be. And it made a huge impact. I'll tell you, I won an award that year from that property. They sent me an award as their Porter of the Year. And that's probably the proudest award I've ever gotten. So it's just little things like that that I think are important to do to make sure your teams know who you really are and that they can believe in that.
Oh, wonderful. We're going to break it here. We're going to be back with more on leadership in our next segment. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Elevate your apartment game with Multi-Housing News and their exclusive newsletters. MHN is the leading integrated resource for people and companies that own, invest in, develop, manage, and or market multifamily real estate. Join the thousands of real estate professionals who trust MHN in their daily, weekly, and bi-monthly newsletters to keep them informed and inspired with property management trends, news, podcasts, and more. Find out more information at multihousingnews.com/subscriptions.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And today we're discussing the topic of multifamily lessons learned, leadership, opportunity, and centralization. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a leader, the fabulous Kevin Owens, Executive Vice President of Multifamily with Lesson, Inc. I do want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to the archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Kevin, we talked in the first segment about leadership. We got about halfway through all the questions that I have, but you kind of ended the segment with a story about when you were doing student housing and you were in that industry, mm-hmm. and you made a trip from the corporate office. And during the break, we were talking about some of the things that were kind of a byproduct of that. Why don't you share that with our listeners?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those situations where sometimes you don't even realize the impact you're going to make until after the fact. And what I realized, you know, it started out when I arrived and it was early morning, the team's gathering together. There was some snickering, some joking. You have somebody show up from the corporate office to do the work. I think there were some real questions about whether I was actually going to do anything, whether I was going to just watch, because that's what happens a lot of the times. And so as we really started digging in, Number one, they gave me one of their t-shirts, so I didn't have to wear the shirt I brought. They gave me one of their property t-shirts specifically made for Turn, so I felt like a part of the team at that point. And then during that whole process, conversations developed and began to flow. I learned things about what the team on site went through and had to do every single day in their jobs that I didn't know. And it allowed us to tweak some things as an organization, to make some changes, to adjust our operations and decisions we were making that we thought were right. We did a little bit differently. And so just the experience of doing that and going through that scenario and that day, a long day, but that day of turn with that team really opened my eyes. And I think for them, it gave them a sense of trust that maybe they didn't have before. And I think that's really important too.
Yeah. And speaking of trust, I mean, let's talk a little bit about what is the impact of trust on leadership in multifamily?
You know, I mentioned it briefly when I was talking about authenticity. I think trust is one of those core tenets that if it's not there, you just can't be an effective leader. You can hold a title, you can be a boss, but to be a true leader, trust has to be there with your teams. And I think there's a few things you can do to build trust and garner trust. And one of them is to build authentic, that word again, authentic, real connection. So, you know, that scenario we talked about, just really getting to know the service team members, the office team members that were kind of in it with me that day was a big part of that. You know, asking about their family, asking them about what they did on their off time, what they did for fun, their hobbies, what they were doing in school, because some of them were students, was a big piece of getting to know them. And then sharing from my perspective the same kinds of things allowed them to get to know me. And you can't do that if you're not actively listening. And so one of the real beliefs I have that I take with me every day is that you have to listen more than you talk as a leader. And I think that builds trust. The old adage my grandmother taught me was you have two ears and one mouth for a reason. You're supposed to listen more than you talk. And so I practice that all the time. And I think that's why a lot of people trust me, because I listen to them. I hear what they're saying. And by doing that, I think it encourages them to be real with me, to be transparent with me and I with them. So I think that's another part of it. That transparency is really important in building trust. And from my perspective as a leader, I think there's some things that I can do as part of that transparency building process. I think it's important that I communicate well, that I set clear expectations, that I communicate changes to the teams, especially decisions that might not be popular or well received, that I communicate those honestly, that I talk to team members about things that are going well, but also talk about opportunities that we have to get better and to make sure that they feel that sense of connection with me during that entire process as well. And then I think last, maybe, but not least by any means, is there's got to be a sense of an appreciation within the team. I think the team has to feel like that the work they're doing, who they are as a team member, what they're contributing to the organization, to the team, is a recognized and appreciated. And so while I certainly enjoyed and cherished the award I received as the Porter of the Year for that experience I had with that team, I really believe they left that experience feeling a sense of appreciation from me for what they do. I said it multiple times. I sent it to them in writing after the fact. And we talked about that for years after that experience, because it was so ingrained in who we were. So that appreciation process to me is an indication of a positive relationship. And that kind of leads to the very last point about trust to me is you're not, as a leader, you're coaching your team. You're not dictating changes. You're not reprimanding. You're not assigning consequences. You're trying to help them learn. You're coaching them in situations they are dealing with every single day. So rather than dictating what you want, it's coaching them to kind of figure out for themselves what they can do better to better contribute to your organization. So again, trust is just at the core of everything we do as a leader, and I just don't think you can be that effective if you don't have that built in.
All right, we've got about 4.5 minutes left in this segment, and I want to switch from trust to values. What's the impact of values on leadership?
You know, I think values is almost like a thread that runs through everything we've talked about so far that I think what makes a leader great. I think the core values an individual has, the core values an organization has, are critical components to creating the culture you want, to building authenticity, to building trust, it connects everything together in a really cohesive way. So I think the key is making sure that the values you have are the values you actually practice. Back to authenticity, I think if you pretend to have a certain set of values, whether that's integrity or respect or humility, whatever those values that you say you have are, if they're not lived values, it's going to be recognized very quickly. So the concept of values to me goes very deeply into everything we've discussed. It's got to be a situation where your values are clearly communicated. Your values are obvious to the observer. They can clearly be seen in your behaviors, your actions, the decisions you make, and that you share your values in a coaching environment or a coaching way in an effort to share and extend the sharing of your values throughout the organization. You know, I've always believed that as a leader, especially an executive level leader, you don't have the ability to have direct contact with every single person in your organization. So while I want the front line to know what my values are, I want them to know who I am as an individual, I want them to share in those, I rely on and depend on other leaders to help me do that. And so I have a job to make sure that my values are communicated and lived well to my direct reports so that they can then live them well and communicate them well to their teams and on down the line to every single person in the organization. So that values proposition, that values component of who we are as leaders goes a long way in one, defining who we are, number one, determining whether we're real or not or are trusted or not. And number three, I think it goes a long way in determining how successful we're ultimately going to be as a leader, number one, and number two, as an organization who is charged to perform a service or provide a service or to make money or whatever our job is as an organization to do.
We've got about a minute and 15 seconds left in this segment. And the last thing I want to talk about on leadership is, what is the impact on results?
Yeah, another great question. And that's one that I'll try to boil down pretty quickly because I think I could talk about that one for 20 minutes in and of itself. It is very clear to me that authentic, value-based, trustworthy leadership has a dramatic positive result on the efforts you're making as an organization. I have another example. I joined an organization several years ago, long time ago, so don't look at my resume or my LinkedIn profile and think it's recent. It's not. It's a long time ago. I won't name the organization. But it was in a place where those components were simply not there in the way that they should be. There was lack of trust. There was little authenticity. The values that were espoused were not lived out. And when you looked at the results at that point in time, they weren't very good. Whatever metric you looked at, sales, NOI, new customer acquisition, customer retention, employee retention, all the metrics that you look at from a KPI perspective to judge success simply were underperforming. And we simply made an effort to change the dynamics of leadership in the organization. So I spent a great deal of time getting to know leaders at every level, frontline team members. I traveled the country talking about who we were going to become as an organization, what we were going to be focused on, and what I thought the impact would be. And we saw within a year a pretty dramatic change in the results, I firmly believe, based on that transition from a more autocratic, boss-oriented leadership style to a true servant leadership, values-based, authentic, trustworthy leadership style. People were more engaged. The teams were more willing to try new things. They were more coachable. They saw the impact of what we were doing at the corporate level actually flowing out and being felt at the property level. And the results were dramatic. And they were dramatic not only perceptually, but they were dramatic in the data. We saw a dramatic change and increase in sales, in revenue, a dramatic decrease in employee turnover, a dramatic decrease in customer turnover. And so it's those kinds of things that I can't think and believe strongly can be impacted in a very positive way simply by having the right leadership in place.
Fantastic. Well, we are going to end this segment here. We're going to be back right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials? Or maybe you're worried about a pending audit. Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and AppFolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
We are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of multifamily lessons learned, leadership, opportunity, and centralization. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran and leader, the awesome Kevin Owens, Executive Vice President of Multifamily with Lesson, Inc. I do want to take a moment and thank some of our sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. E-Conserve, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. PayScore, learn the truth about applicant income, and Happy Co, multifamily solutions to smile about. So, Kevin, we talked in the first two segments about leadership and all the different components that make up the kind of leadership that we want to create today within the multifamily industry. Let's talk about opportunity, specifically career opportunity. What are you seeing there?
Another great topic, Paul, and I think, you know, I'll go back to when I first started in the business. It was one of those situations where everybody came with a different story. And while that's still true today, the opportunities or availability of entry-level opportunities from a university perspective, a college perspective, simply weren't there. So it's almost as if you happened into the business, either because maybe you lived in an apartment community in college and needed a part-time job, and so you leased apartments as a result of that. Or perhaps you did some part-time maintenance work at that apartment community to help pay your rent at the time and enjoyed that and got into the business that way. Many, many other stories of how you entered the business. But I think the biggest message I want people to hear today is the multifamily industry is a wonderful career opportunity for anybody interested in making a difference in the lives of people. You know, we talk about the fact that whether you're a developer or an owner or a manager, we deal with sticks and bricks and concrete and steel and all the components that make up the buildings that we own and manage. But the reality is, at every level, we're a people business. And so for people who like people and want to make an impact on people, whether it's residents or coworkers or vendor relationships or investors or partners or other owners for whom you manage properties, people are at the core of who we are as an industry and what we do every single day. So I want people to know it's a fantastic place to be. Beyond that, I think we do have an opportunity as an industry to continue to rethink what a career path might look like. You know, one of the things that was pretty prevalent early on in my career, and frankly still pretty prevalent in our industry, is the path one must follow in order to achieve the goals you want to have in this career. The adage was, you've got to start at leasing, then you have to move to an assistant manager position, then you have to move to a manager position, then perhaps area manager, regional manager, regional vice president, and on up the chain. And I think we're beginning to realize and need to realize more clearly that that simply doesn't work for everybody. And I'll tell you why, and I'll give you an example. I have worked with people. I'll call the one person I'm thinking about. I'll call her Sarah. Sarah came to me about 12 years ago, applied for a position at one of our properties as a leasing professional. This bubbly personality, infectious, just you wanted to spend time with her. As the old adage goes, could sell ice to an Eskimo. Just those kinds of characteristics that you really want in a leasing professional. So we hired Sarah. Sarah did a fantastic job for us in leasing, just knocked it out of the park. Every month she was assigned goals. She met those goals. We put her at a lease up. She crushed a lease up for us. And of course, you start having someone perform that well, you start looking at, well, what's the next step? Sarah needs to grow in her career. Well, of course, Sarah has to become an assistant manager. So the next step for Sarah was you'll go from this lease up to this stabilized community where you're going to be the assistant manager. You're going to help pay bills. You're going to collect rent. And you're going to do the things that are associated with that role. Well, Sarah didn't do well. Sarah, as a matter of fact, for all intents and purposes, could easily define the results that she achieved at that point in time a failure. But it wasn't because Sarah wasn't good. It was because her personality, her skill set didn't match the role that we asked her to perform. And so we had to rethink what we were doing. And did we see her failure as a way to move her out of the organization, or did we see her failure as an opportunity to rethink what we were doing as an organization to help people achieve their ultimate goals? And so we started at that point really thinking about evaluating the individual and perhaps having different paths for individuals to achieve their goals. So you want to be a property manager. Do you have to be an assistant manager first? The answer is no. There are certain skills, certain things you need to know as a property manager. Of course there are. But does it mean you have to do that for 6 months or a year before you can be a property manager? The answer is no. So I encourage organizations, teams, leaders all the time, don't just think about the traditional step-by-step process in any individual's career. Think about the person with whom you're working. What are their strengths? What do they do well? Focus the growth patterns, the opportunities for that individual on those strengths, and you'll come out in a much better place, and they'll be much more successful as well.
Well, we've got about 4 minutes left in this segment, and I wanted to ask you about when it comes to opportunity and career opportunity, what do you see as the need for mentorship?
I think mentorship is one of the most important things you can have or offer to your teams in an effort to continue to have them grow in their careers. But I don't think it's just on each individual company to do that. I think individuals need to take it upon themselves to identify and find members. I'm going to give a shout out to Tara Samuels right now. And Tara Samuels is a name in our business that a lot of people know. She has put together a multifamily mentor matchmaker community that identifies mentors and ties them or attaches them to mentees in our business, so that individuals who work in certain organizations don't have to just rely on their organizations to find mentors. I think that's a fantastic thing, and it's a thing we need to do more of in our business. We need to provide opportunities for newcomers to our industry, whether new and young and fresh out of school, or maybe transitioning to our business from another business. Give them a chance to grow and learn and follow individuals who've done it. And so mentoring is one of those things that, when combined with kind of the learning process, the experience process, can really maximize, optimize, and speed up, frankly, the growth of an individual as they move into different facets of our business. So mentoring is probably the most important thing I would think individuals could do for themselves. Identify a mentor, find someone you can follow, can kind of latch on to, can learn from, can talk to on a regular basis, because learning from their experience and their example is going to be a much faster a much faster opportunity for growth than learning it on your own. No doubt about that in my mind.
Got about 2 minutes left in this segment. And the final question I've got about the opportunity and career opportunity is, and you kind of talked a little bit about in the example you gave with Sarah, but rethinking career path options. Talk about why you think that's important.
Yeah, you know, I think we pigeonhole people too often into what has to be based on what we believe as an organization or an industry it should be. I think we broaden the expectation that an individual in a leadership position needs to have a certain set of skills or a certain understanding. We broaden that too far to mean that they have to have experienced that specific thing. And I just don't think that's necessary. As a matter of fact, as in Sarah's case, I think that's a mistake. I'll give another example, and I hopefully it doesn't embarrass her, but I'll use my daughter as an example. My daughter is a property manager in our business right now. She's been in our business for about 2.5 years total, has just crushed it. I'm so proud of what she's accomplished. She started in leasing, and she's got that personality. She's got the personality that you want in a leasing professional. I've told people every time I talk to them about her that she'll be better at this business than I ever was or will be. And it's because of that personality she's got. And she moved into an assistant manager role as her next step. And I think that was a mistake. Now, she did fine. She did what she needed to do. Her collections were fantastic, but she hated it. She didn't love it. And I don't think any individual is going to stay in a role or in a company, in an organization, in a career path when you hate what you're doing. So fortunately, she didn't have to stay in that position long. But had she had the opportunity to move from a leasing professional to maybe a leasing manager position and learn leadership that way, then move to a property manager position, that might have been a better opportunity for her to really get what she needed from that path while not having to spend time doing something that just didn't match with her personality. So I think we've got to do a better job as an industry of matching opportunity and career path to the strengths and skills of the team members we're trying to grow.
All right. Well, we are going to be back with our final segment of this episode right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Say goodbye to pen and paper processes, labor shortages, and unhappy residents, and say hello to HappyCo, the only multifamily platform that supports every stage of your property lifecycle. Improve your portfolio with Happy Asset, the ROI-driving asset optimization solution for owners, acquisition directors, and asset managers. Manage your portfolio with Happy Property, a suite of intuitive tools that streamline operations, empower teams, and delight residents. Service your portfolio with Happy Force, an always-on remote maintenance workforce for multifamily specialists designed to increase resident satisfaction. HappyCo, multifamily solutions to smile about. For more information, visit the website at happy.co.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of multifamily lessons learned, leadership, opportunity, and centralization. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran and leader, the incredible Kevin Owens, Executive Vice President of Multifamily with Lesson, Inc. I do want to take a moment and thank some of our other sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. Balanced Asset Solutions, CPAs with expertise in multifamily property management. DirecTV, the ultimate entertainment experience, is now available to all multifamily residents. Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the multifamily industry. And CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Kevin, we've got about 10 and a half minutes left in the segment, and I want to transition in the final few minutes of the segment to a different topic, but let's talk a bit about service centralization. Talk a little bit about that.
Another great topic, Paul. You know, our industry, primarily since COVID, the C word, I don't even like to say that word anymore, but since that time, a little bit before that, but I think COVID drove our industry to really look at a more centralized process orientation in our offices at the property level. The leasing process has dramatically changed since that time. The process through which the assistant manager role, you know, bill paying, collections, and the other tasks on an administrative side that assistant managers typically do on a day-to-day basis have gotten a lot of attention from a centralization standpoint. What I think has been missing in a large part up to this point has been a real focus or deep dive look into the maintenance services that we're providing at our property sites. I think there is a real opportunity for us as an industry to rethink how we perform facilities and maintenance services at our communities. And I think it benefits everybody. I think it benefits the technicians and service managers and those professionals on the service side from the standpoint of something we talked about in the last segment, career growth. It gives them an opportunity to perhaps specialize or do something in a unique way to grow their careers as centralization potentially takes hold in that space. I think from an owner standpoint, it gives an opportunity for more efficiency, cost savings. From an operator standpoint or a management organization standpoint, we all know that talent is really tough to come by these days. And there are so many companies that are struggling with open positions on the maintenance side, especially because of all the competition that's been created for those talented professionals. I think centralization is another way to help alleviate some of the burden that operators are feeling right now in trying to fill all those open positions and continue to get the work done that is necessary and required to have a truly top-notch professional management touch at your individual property. So I think service and maintenance centralization is going to be as hot and as impactful over the next 2 to 3 years as office centralization has been over the past 2 to 3.
Yeah, and you know, every conference I go to, whether it's the major ones or just some of the regional ones, centralization for the last two to two and a half years, it seems like, has been, you know, a very, very hot topic. It kind of is getting to the point where I think a lot of people are tuning it out because all they've heard about is centralization. So talk a little bit about, you know, what are the important things that someone should know about what the advantages of centralization are and maybe some of the things that they should be wary of as potential disadvantages?
I think that's a fantastic way to look at it, Paul. And you're right. It's become such a topic that it's almost cliched and almost in one ear and out the other these days. I think there's a couple of things that we can do to ensure that the right people understand it and continue to be bought into what we're trying to do as an industry. Number one, I think we go back to the core of almost any situation or issue is communication. We've got to do better at communicating to, frankly, our teams at the site level and regional level about what we're doing. I think when the perception is that things are kind of happening behind the curtain and all these plans are being made, the natural human tendency when you don't get the truth is to create the truth. And so that's where you get fear. That's where you get individuals thinking, my job's going to get replaced. We've heard the same thing with AI. We're going to lose all these jobs because AI is going to take over. Well, the same thing has happened with centralization. We're going to centralize. So I, as an assistant manager or a leasing professional, am no longer going to have a job. And I think the same thing could happen on the maintenance side. I'm not going to have a job because we've centralized our maintenance services. Number one, to a large extent, that's just not true. I think we as an industry have an obligation to communicate, to retrain, to offer opportunities to the people right now in those roles to give them a chance to do different things as we prepare together for that centralization process. So that's number one. I think number two is we've got to do a better job with the why. Whether it is the why statement made to the owner of the asset and the reason why we believe it to be impactful to him or her from a cost savings perspective, from a consistency of excellent execution perspective, whatever the impact points are going to be to that individual owner, I think we've got to do a really, really stellar job of explaining the why. The same goes for the teams impacted, whether it is the individuals at the site level whose jobs might change a bit because of that. Let's talk about why. Let's talk about the benefits to you as an associate, to us as an organization, to our industry as a whole. For the individuals at maybe the corporate level or those folks who are tasked with helping identify the opportunities in centralization or planning out the process of centralization, helping them understand the why is really important as well. So communication, that why component is really necessary. And I think the third part is we've got to be willing to try things and fail and try again. Sometimes we try and fail, and we can do that well, but the try again part just doesn't come to fruition. And so we're going to make mistakes. We're going to try things that don't work very well. They don't lend the results that we thought they were going to give to us, and we give up. We can't do that. Our industry is changing, and we have to change with it. And if we don't, we're going to continue to deal with the same challenges we're dealing with today with regard to staff challenges, with regard to costs continuing to go up, rent continuing to go up as a result, and opportunities for people to, number one, find a great place to live at an affordable price, and number three, an opportunity for individuals to find a great career in our industry is going to be hampered because we aren't willing and able to change with the times. So centralization is a key component to that, and we just got to make sure people understand the importance of it and why we can make it work together.
All right, before we transition to something, I want to ask one more question because you mentioned turnover, specifically in the maintenance side. Mm-hmm. I've seen reports that it's over 50% turnover post-pandemic. What are you seeing?
Same thing. I think that's one of the reasons why centralization is going to be something we look at more definitively and directly over the next couple of years. But we're seeing the same things across the board, whether it's 50% or 60 or 40 or sometimes higher. The percentages vary a bit, but we are absolutely seeing a ton of turnover in the industry. I think there's several reasons for it. I think the leadership component is one. We've got to do a better job with our leadership. Number two, I think the opportunities that our professionals have in other industries to make more money is something we've got to think about. We've got to think about the pay scales we're offering in our industry and making sure that we are being competitive in our marketplace. And then number three, I think we've got to demonstrate a clear and consistent and obvious career path to professionals in this space. If I'm a porter and want to become a regional supervisor at some level, how do I get there? What are the steps for me to get there? What do I need to learn? What do I need to achieve? What skills do I need to develop? I think we've got to be really clear about that and then really focus on the culture around those other three items to ensure that while we're working on those three, that the culture in which those employees are working is top-notch and makes them want to stay and continue down that path to the goals they want to achieve.
All right, we have got about a minute and a half left. I do want to transition now and let you tell everybody what you're doing now with Lesson Inc., and as well as if someone wants to reach out to you, how can they get in touch?
That'd be awesome. So, Lesson is a property services firm. I was drawn to Lesson away from the owner-operator world because I think Lesson offers opportunities, services, and technology that our industry needs to transition into a more advanced industry, specifically on the maintenance side. So Lesson offers property services like turn assistance, R&M, repairs and maintenance assistance, renovation assistance. And we do that with a best-in-class technology platform that allows us to manage those projects in an excellent way, but it also allows our customers, our owners and operators on that side to kind of monitor progress and communicate with us and kind of see how things are moving along. We also are in the midst of working with a couple of large owner operators to run pilots for us and with us with regard to a software platform that allows the owner operator to also centralize their services, but to do it in such a way that tracks using AI algorithms and other methods to give them the most cost efficient and effective ways to track and monitor employee time and assistance on turns and R&M and things like that. So I think it's an area of our business that needs a lot of help and support. And I think Lesson is well positioned to provide that to any owners and operators who want that. You can reach me a couple of ways. I'm on LinkedIn, so please check in and connect with me there at Kevin Owens. And then my email address at Lesson is kevin.owens@lesson, LESSEN.com. I'd love to hear from you.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Kevin. We're going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.